Hi, you're listening to the Sunday Service coming from St. Columba's, Derevogie on the Belsize Road in Lisburn. You can connect more with us by visiting our website at derevogie.com or liking our Facebook page. Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's, Derevogie. My name is James and thank you for joining us online at our service today. We've been doing this now for 2 or 3 weeks as we have been... Our buildings have been closed up due to the coronavirus crisis. We hope you feel at home as you join us in your own home today. We begin each Sunday with verses of Scripture. Just before the verses of Scripture, there's normally a couple of announcements, but obviously there's nothing happening in the building this week. But the verses of Scripture today come from Psalm 118, verses 19 through to 29. And this is really important for us as we gather, to simply allow God's word to be read over us and to imbibe it into us. It stills us, it prepares us, and powerfully proclaims truth over us as we gather as a community. And even though we are desperately gathered in our own homes across the life of this parish, we gather together as a community today with one purpose. And one reason, to worship and to give glory to a living God. So Psalm 118, verse 19, says, "Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join the festival procession. Up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Did you get that little bit in there in verse 27? The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, we join the festival procession. This is Palm Sunday. The Sunday that normally begins a busy Holy Week in the life of a parish. And today we remember that Jesus came as a king on a donkey. Even that's an oxymoron, isn't it? A king on a donkey. Those two things don't go together. But the humility of our living Lord coming on a donkey shows us the humility of a God who wants to reach out to each one of us. And so we begin by praying. Father God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to join together today. We thank you for the technology around us that enables us to do this. We thank you for each one of us as we gather, as we look at our screens, our tablets, our phones, whatever it is that we are connecting through. But we thank you, Lord, that we are connected not just through a digital medium, but through your presence, the presence of the living Lord standing around each one of us right here, right now in this moment. Amen. So each Sunday we go through our order of service and we confess the things that we've done wrong. This is also a really important element of a community that gathers together. That we recognise that we're not holy, that we're not perfect, but that our Lord is. And in that recognition, we come before him. We come before him to ask his forgiveness. So let me lead you in that. Lord God, we have sinned against you. We have done wrong in your sight, and we are sorry and repent. Have mercy on us according to your love. Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew your right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so may the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sin. Restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his precious name. through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Collect for this Palm Sunday. Almighty and ever-living God, who in your tender love towards the human race sent your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross, grant that we may follow the example of his patience and humility, and also be made partakers of his resurrection through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. This is the point where we normally invite the children to come up. And we've loved your little pictures that you've been sending in to us, our little photographs or little video clips that you've been sending through to us, especially those ones where you invite the children to come up and some of the kids have been walking up to the TV screens, which has been absolutely beautiful to see an interaction and an engagement with that. So as always, we normally have a little chat, a little talk. We normally have an object maybe that I bring before you. Today, I have a wooden spoon. Now, some of you may not think I know how to use this or what it's for, but I can certainly tell you that whenever I was a child, it was used on me, not because I was mischievous or bad. Well, it probably was, actually. But anyway, but the wooden spoon is normally used for cooking or for baking. We use it for stirring things up, don't we? And actually, as we gather today in our own homes, or prayer as a church, as a community, is that God would stir up in our hearts something new. Now, what he is doing in the middle of this period of confusion around us, that what he is doing would stir something new in us, that we would look for new opportunities to see God, new opportunities to read God's Bible, new opportunities to pray to him, new opportunities as a family to spend more time together. The little game Frustration has been out in our house quite a bit recently. And boy, is it frustrating whenever you live with three girls because they gang up on poor old me. At that point, I'd like you to say, ah. I can't hear you, but I take it that you did. Thank you very much. So remember, as we use our spoons to eat our dinner, as we use our spoons to bake bread or whatever it is that we're going to be doing over the next few weeks, let's just remember that God wants to stir up in us something new in this moment. And so we turn to our reading for today. We're going to hear that read to us now.
The lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 21, beginning to read at verse 1, the triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
A passage is a passage that describes what we commonly call Palm Sunday in church. A Sunday whenever the crowds gather to welcome Jesus into Jerusalem. This is Jesus' last journey. This is the beginning of the Passion, the journey of Jesus all the way to the cross. And normally, Holy Week is filled with lots of activity in our church. Because that first Holy Week is filled with lots of activity. And so normally we walk through the story. I would encourage you this week, each day this week, to read a little bit from Matthew chapter 21 through to Matthew chapter 28, finishing up on Easter Sunday, as we recount and recall the story of Jesus, his last moments on earth, and the amazing and miraculous things that were happening and going on as we come then next week to really celebrate. But here we have this crowd celebrating Jesus arriving on a donkey. Now, I say donkey because I can say that properly because I'm obviously from the Promised Land, which is Ballymena. Normally you'd all be laughing at that. I hope you're not laughing at me. No. But Jesus arrives on a donkey. A day in this passage that's filled with laughter, with song, and with celebration. We don't seem to have much opportunity for that at the moment, do we? Celebration and laughter and gathering together. But very soon we will. Very soon we will. Because this moment of us in our homes, this moment where we are isolating, this moment where we are socially distancing, this moment where we are grieving, this moment where we are misunderstanding what is happening around us or confused at what is happening around us, it won't last forever. And one day we will celebrate. And I want to promise you that whenever we get out the other side, we're going to have a great celebration here in Deira Volga. And we want you to come and to join us again as we celebrate again the joining together physically. But I also want to say that nothing catches God by surprise. He is sovereign. And he is in control. And so even this moment that we find ourselves in, it hasn't caught God by surprise. See, Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage in the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. Jesus knew that whenever they would go into the village, someone would challenge them about untying this donkey. Jesus already knew the offense that were going to happen in this first Holy Week. Jesus knew the offense that was going to happen between now and how he was going to get to the cross. And that moment where he weeps in the Garden of Gethsemane and he cries, Lord, if this cup can be taken away from me, but if it's your will, let it be. Jesus was resolute in what he had come to do. But this crowd welcomes Jesus. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The same crowd, come Good Friday, will be crying, crucify him. Crucify him. Release Barabbas. And so on one hand, there's great celebration and joy. And I'm sure Jesus is watching that. And as he approaches Jerusalem, he weeps over this city. I wonder, when was the last time you wept over your community? When was the last time that you wept for your neighbors and for your street and for the city that we live in? The people around us need to be on our hearts, not just on our minds. Over the last few years, we have seen in our culture a distancing from the things of Jesus. And in one sense, it's put the church in a very new position. No longer does it hold a privileged position in society, and probably rightly so. But in the public square, we now have an opportunity to speak clearly and loudly about who we are and who it is that we believe in. You know, whenever I am out and about, especially with, well, not especially with no dog collar on. And you begin to get to know people. You begin to have conversations with people in a shop. And so you begin to interact with them. This is before the times of social distancing, might I say. You begin to interact with them, begin to share stories with them. And over a period of days and weeks, as you bump into the same person on a regular basis, the stories and the jokes and all of those things begin to escalate sometimes. And then one day you turn up with a dog collar on. And as you turn up with a dog collar on, the conversation changes. Now the person begins to apologize for their language. The person begins to apologize for some of the stories that they may have shared. Why? Because they see me as an ambassador for Jesus. And in one sense, there's a knowledge that actually everything that's being said and done wouldn't always be fit in the eyes of the Lord. But you should just be yourself whenever you stand before a Christian. But one day we will each stand before a Lord who knows us and who loves us. And in that day, we need to be sure of the answer that we give of what we have done with Jesus. This crowd welcomes him on Palm Sunday. And come Good Friday, they cry, "Crucify him." What's your cry to the Lord today? Hosanna, who comes in the name of the Lord? Or crucify him? And yet, a society has distanced itself from the things of Jesus in Parliament, in schools, and in the marketplace. But yet in this moment, in this place that we find ourselves in our culture and in our society with the coronavirus and the COVID-19, we now hear the cry, we hear the search for Jesus increasing. Either to mean, well, why did he allow this to happen? Or I need assurance that Jesus is present. And these are happening like never before. Over the last number of weeks, as I have been about my business, mainly before we had to stay at home, I have to say, but as I've been about my business, never before I've had conversations with random strangers stopping me in the street and asking me questions about God, about the Bible, about what is going on in the world. Wonderful opportunities for us as Christians to speak God's truth and God's love and God's grace into this situation. You see, but Jesus is more than just a crutch. He is everything. He's the great I am. The great I am. Whenever Moses asked God way back in the Old Testament, Pharaoh says, "Who sent me? What am I going to say?" And God simply says, "Tell him I am." Because God's everything. He doesn't need anything else. Whenever Jesus comes to the Garden of Gethsemane and the Roman soldiers come to arrest him with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and Judas, in John's Gospel, Jesus steps forward and says, "Who is it you're looking for?" Jesus already steps into the space. And as he steps into the space and says, "Who are you looking for?" they say, "Jesus. Jesus." And what's Jesus' response? "I am he. I am." He's the great I am. He's the one who has always been, who currently is, and who will always be. He's the one that I place my trust into, that I lean into in this moment. Not just in the good times, like a triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, but even in the bad times and the bits in between. See, verse 6 of John chapter 21 says, "The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They went and they brought the donkey and the colt and they placed their cloaks on them and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of them and those that followed him shouted, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" They welcomed Jesus. Do you? Do I? Preachers included, as he asks these questions. They welcomed Jesus, but more than that. Verse 10, When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" They were all stirred. They were all stirred. God is stirring in us a new thing. We need to look for the opportunities. The opportunities not only to respond to him, but the opportunities to rest in his presence and to listen for his voice. See, verse 11, the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Nazareth was seen as a place of insignificance. A place where actually in other places in the scriptures, it tells us, people said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Can anything good come out of our current situation? Yes, it can. Because God, who is sovereign and in control, is doing a new thing. He is able to do immeasurably more. Maybe you think, not me, but somebody else, he could do a new thing, and anybody else, but not me. Can I say, I once felt like that too. I often continue to feel like that. And then I have to allow God's Spirit to check me and to say, but actually, as long as I am open and ready to be used by God, he can do a new thing even in me. Maybe you feel a lack of self-worth or esteem or purpose. God loves you. God knows you. He died for you. This is the beginning of this journey to the cross. And not just the cross, but the empty tomb. And he did that for you. Jesus declares elsewhere in the scriptures that I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. No one comes to the Father except through me. I wonder, have you received Jesus as your Savior, as the one who creates the way to the Father? We'll touch on more of that next week, so please do come back and join us for that. But here in this triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, this, in a sense, was Jesus' moment. However, the world declared him as the King. And one day the world will declare him as king again, because the scriptures are clear. Whilst Jesus died and rose again and sits in his rightful place on a throne room in heaven, he will one day come back again to judge the earth and to call those who know him and love him to their eternal home. He is the great I Am. Do you know him? Is he king in your life? Let's pray. Father, help us to see you afresh and anew today. Help us to know who you are in increasing measure. And by your Spirit in this moment, whisper softly or shout loudly. But Lord, get our attention, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things I want to do today at this stage is to use one of the earliest creeds that's found in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, to declare who Jesus is. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day, and afterwards he appeared to his followers and to all the apostles. This we have received, and this we believe. Amen. I'm going to take some time to pray, because as we take time to pray, we're not only seeking God's blessing on other people, we are seeking God's blessing in our own lives. And in shifting our focus from ourselves to what is possible through him, our perspective shifts. So if you'll join me, let's pray. Father God, we want to continue to thank you for the key workers in our communities, for our frontline healthcare providers, for all within the NHS who enable our hospitals and our GPs and every other level of our care to continue. Thank you for each one of them, no matter how small or insignificant they think their part is. They're a cog in the bigger wheel, and we thank you for it in its entirety, Lord. And so we seek your courage and your strength for them, for your safety over them. And we pray for all those who are currently in hospital because of the coronavirus. For loved ones who are unable to visit them or to be with them and are uncertain about what their future might hold. We pray for other parts of the NHS who continue as normal to treat and to look after patients who have other medical cares and issues. We pray for our communities. We pray for those healthcare workers who go day and daily in and out of homes to ensure that people continue to have a quality of life. And so, as we do nearly every week, we pray for our community, pray for our streets, for our homes, for our neighbours. We call to mind the names of the streets that we walk on, that we bought our milk on, that we go to work on, whatever it is, Lord, but we call to mind those streets and we pray for those homes that we can now imagine in our heads as we pass them by. Unaware, uncertain of what might be happening inside, but you know. And so we pray for them. And we pray for those who grieve today. That your hand, your peace and your mercy would be upon them. We pray these things, not to a God who is dead, but to a God who is alive and well, in the knowledge that you hear our prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us once again this morning. You can tune in again for these broadcasts at 10:30 next week, which is Easter Sunday. And we really want to encourage you to come back and join with us on that day. If there's anything you need in between and we think that we can help, we will do our best to do so. You can contact us on 02892-528242 or info@deravolgi.com. Please hook into our website, deravolgi.com, and into our Facebook page to ensure you're kept with updates. If you have any questions around Christianity or faith, don't hesitate to contact me. You can contact me at those numbers and that information that I've given you, or indeed look at our section on our website to find out more information. Thank you, and may God continue to bless you and keep yourself safe, we pray. So the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit would rest upon each one of us this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen.